prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you today as your people, a people who have been redeemed not by silver or by gold, but by the precious love of Jesus. And yet, Lord, we confess that there are times when we tend to drift, times when our focus shifts just a little bit, when our alignment gets off just a little bit, when old habits start to creep back in and pull us away from you. So today, Lord, we ask again that you would realign our hearts, adjust what needs to be adjusting, and draw us back into right relationship with you. Lord, we lift up the people of this church, the joys we carry and the burdens that we bear. For those who are celebrating, we give you thanks, Lord. For those who are hurting, we ask for your comfort. For those who are facing uncertainty, we ask for your peace. For those who feel lost or off course, Lord, we would ask that you would guide them back onto the right path. Be with our families, our communities, those who are struggling in silence, and those who feel like they're carrying more than they can handle. Lord, we continue to lift up our nation and its leaders. We would ask that you would grant them wisdom and humility and discernment. We pray for those who are in harm's way around this world, especially in places of conflict right now, like the Middle East and still in Russia and Ukraine. We lift up our men and women who are in uniform, those who've chose to serve and defend. Lord, protect them and remind them that they're not alone. And Lord, for us right here at Backroads, help us to be the kind of church that walks together, a church that helps one another stay sighted in, a church that speaks truth in love, a church that points people back to you. We surrender all of this to you, Lord, trusting in your grace. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So today I'm gonna preach from a passage that I've never preached from before, so it's kind of an adventure for all of us. But I'm gonna preach from 1 Peter. This is in the rotation of the lectionary for two weeks after Easter. So hear these words from 1 Peter 1. These are verses 17 to 23. It says, "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but he was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love for one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we get rolling this morning, I always like to start with a question. I mentioned that last week's sermon. I like asking questions. So my question for you this morning is this. What do you think you're really worth? Isn't that a great question? That's a question that has a way of sneaking up on us if we think about it. Maybe not every day, but at some point in your life, most of us have asked this question: What is my worth? What difference do I really make? What is my value in the grand scheme of things? And if you really want to know, the world is pretty quick to answer that question for us, isn't it? It tells us that we're only worth what we produce. That's one of the things that drives our value. Or we're only worth what we earn or what we achieve. Or how about this? We're only worth what others think about us. There are a few of us, or there are a few who are sure that they're the most valuable person in the world. But most of us probably have a more modest view of ourselves. For all of us, though, our reading today from 1 Peter suggests an answer to that question of human value. What are you really worth? Well, the chemicals that make up your body, they have some value. A few years ago, an estimate of the market value of all the chemical elements in a human male body was about $160. Now that's one way of determining value. Another way of assessing worth would be the fact that a lot more money you could get a lot more money by selling one of your vital organs on the black market. That would bring a fair bit of money, but it would also cost you your life. But of course, when you wonder what you're worth, you have in mind much more than just the value of the physical stuff that you're made of. Your life is far more than that. Even more than whatever assets you own and the money that you might be earning. What is the living, the breathing, the thinking, the believing, the loving person you are? What is that worth? Well, let's take a look at a couple of hypothetical scenarios that might help us think about that question. Think about this. If you had a life-threatening condition, how much money would be spent on a rare and expensive drug or a complicated series of operations to keep you alive, even if you weren't the one who was flipping the bill for all those resources? Let's think about this. If you were kidnapped by terrorists, how large of ransom would anyone be willing to pay in order to set you free? Now, you're probably thinking that those things aren't likely to happen. In an ordinary course of events, you'd be absolutely right. But in the larger picture, in the bigger scheme of things, in an important way, they already have. Both of those things have already happened. You see, you and I, each one of us, we've been infected with the deadly disease of sin. And we're threatened with a spiritual death. We've all been led astray by the seductive temptations of evil. We wandered away from God, and we just can't find our way back on our own. That has been the human condition pretty much from the beginning of our existence as a species. It's what the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent is all about. So the question about your worth, it takes on a more profound form. What really, the question, what are you worth to God? What does God think it's worth to bring you back into fellowship and relationship with Him? Our text from 1 Peter provides an answer to that question. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed or ransomed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." That reference to from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors wasn't a personal criticism of those who have gone long before us, but simply a recognition that they, just like us, were members of a humanity that has long been estranged from God. The point Peter is making is when we get our sights out of whack, to win us back into fellowship and relationship with Himself, God was willing to send His own Son into a world of sinners. And that Son of God, Jesus, willingly carried out the mission, suffering and dying on a cross. You see, 1 Peter is a letter written for new converts to the Christian faith back in the first century. But you, in that passage, isn't limited to them. Christ died and rose for all of the people of the world, past, present, and even the future. Because God wants everyone, each and every one of us, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Here's the great thing, though. Even if you'd been the only person who wandered away, just you, Christ would have still done the same thing for you. Remember the story that He told about the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep just to bring home the one who wandered away, the one who wandered into the wilderness. He wants to find and bring home that one sheep that was lost. That really should tell you something about your value in God's sight. I'm a why guy. Why? Why has God done this? The letter goes on to tell us it was so that we might trust in God who raised Christ from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope, they're set on God. Trusting in God and having our hope in Him means that we're restored into our proper relationship with God. Like the sheep that was lost, we've been brought back home. It was to bring us home that Christ was given for us. Jesus was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification, Paul wrote. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That pretty well sums up the gospel message of our salvation. But we're curious people, and we may wander. So how does that work? How do the death and the resurrection of Christ save us? Well, the language of being ransomed in our text suggests that there's been a payment to free a person who's been held captive. The reference a bit later to Christ as the lamb without defect or blemish, that refers to the animal sacrifices that people of the first century were familiar with. Those can be helpful images, and preachers often use them to get across the significance of the passion of Jesus. In fact, that's what I'm doing here with the ransom idea. But problems arise if we try to make them or any other image into a detailed theory about what Christ had to do to reconcile us to God. Christ did not save us by satisfying some legal condition or the requirements of a religious ritual. He saved us by dying at the hands of sinners like us, who were threatened by the way He proclaimed and lived out God's forgiveness and acceptance of sinners, and then rising from the dead to show that in spite of human sin, God still forgives us, still loves us, still accepts us. You see, Peter's writing this letter to some Christians who are scattered. They're displaced. They're desperately trying to figure out how to live out their faith in a world that doesn't quite understand them or their beliefs. These aren't people who are living comfortable, settled, predictable lives. These are people who are trying to follow Jesus, and they're trying to be faithful in a culture that's constantly pulling them in a different direction. Some of them are facing pressure. Some of them are just plain misunderstood. Some of them are just trying to figure out how to stay faithful when everything around them is shifting and they have a hard time staying focused. Does that sound familiar to any of you? I think that's how we live each and every day right now. And Peter is the perfect one to deliver this message because he knows something about that too. This is the same Peter who once had his eyes laser locked, just laser focused on Jesus as he stepped out of a boat. And then the very second that his sight just drifted to the water rather than to Jesus, he lost focus on Jesus. And he began to sink. So I think it's safe to say that this man who understands, or Peter is a man who understands what it means to be sighted in. He may also know what it means to drift off target. He absolutely knows what it means to drift off target. So when he writes this letter to the Christians who've lost sight of their homeland, he's not just writing something he thinks, just some theory that he has. Peter's writing as someone who's lived it, as someone who knows the struggles that they're going through. And here's what Peter says. Peter says this. He says, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." What is that worth? The church, let's ground ourselves for a moment here. We're only two weeks past the Easter celebration. Just a few weeks ago, we stood together and celebrated the empty tomb. We proclaimed loudly that He is risen. We reflected on the cross, the sacrifice, the victory, the power of the resurrection. And during Lent, many of us were really intentional. We prayed more. We examined our hearts. We slowed down long enough to really see what Jesus was doing for us. We were focused. We were locked in. We were, because I'm a hunter, we were sighted in at what the season meant. But let me share something that just happened last week. So I was down in Oklahoma last week. We were out in the pasture in the middle of the night. We were hunting pigs, and I had to leave the spot where I was, where I had set up to hunt, and I had to walk out into the darkness to look for a coyote that I had shot. And it was just a little bit foggy, kind of a haze in the air. There was no light anywhere around except for the stars, those beautiful stars that were above my head. And for some reason, as I walked out to look for this coyote in the dark, I must have zigged where I should have zagged. And before I knew it, I had lost my focus. I was turned around and I was lost. And here's the thing. I'd been in that pasture 100 times. I knew the landscape of that whole area. But without the right frame of reference, without something to keep me oriented, my vision, I was not sighted in. And I got lost in the middle of this pasture. I couldn't find a gate to get back out. I'd been there. I knew the area. The point I want to make, church, that's what can happen to us spiritually as well. Easter becomes our moment of clarity. The cross and the empty tomb, they bring everything into focus for us. We know exactly where we are. We know exactly where we're headed. But then life sets back in. Without realizing it, we zig when we should have zagged, and before long, we're not where we thought we were going to be. And that's exactly why Peter is writing this letter, because he knows how easy it is to drift. He knows how easy it is for believers to start out strong and then slowly lose focus. So he reminds them and he reminds us of something that dials us back in to alignment. He said, you were redeemed not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That means your worth is not defined by this world. It's defined by what God was willing to give for you. Think about that. If you'd been the only one, Christ would have still chosen to go to the cross for you. That's your value in God's sight. Not because of what you've done, but because of who He is. And here's where this connects to the whole staying sighted in thing. If we lose sight of our value in Christ, we start letting the world redefine it. And when the world redefines your worth, you'll always end up chasing the wrong targets. Peter says, live out your time as foreigners in reverent fear. Now that's important because he's reminding us that we don't belong to this world anymore. You're living in it. We're all living in it. But we're not rooted in it anymore. So don't let it recalibrate your aim. Because the drift is real. We drift into comfort. We drift into distraction. We drift into thinking this life is all that there is. We drift into forgetting what Jesus has done for us. And when we drift, we don't just miss the target a little. We start aiming at the wrong things entirely. So how do we stay sighted in? Peter tells us, set your faith on hope and on God. Not occasionally. Not just seasonally, not just during Lent, but continually. Staying sighted in means keeping your eyes on the cross, even when Easter is over. It means remembering the cost of your redemption. It means refusing to let distractions pull you off target. It means continually realigning your life with the truth. The truth of the gospel. Because if we don't intentionally stay focused, stay sighted in, we will unintentionally drift. But here's the reality. If we lose focus, if we lose focus, we don't lose our salvation. But we do risk missing the fullness of what Jesus has done for us. We miss the depth of His grace. We miss the power of His transformation. We miss the joy of what obedience can actually give us. We miss the peace of walking in alignment with Him. Peter says we've been born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and the enduring Word of God. This is a new life meant to stay aligned with Christ. So church, here's the question. 2 weeks after Easter? Are you still sighted in? Or can you feel yourself starting to drift? Because Jesus hasn't changed. The cross hasn't lost its power. The tomb is still empty. Jesus still lives. So today, we realign. We refocus. We fix our eyes once again on what Jesus has done for us. Because when you stay sighted in, you don't just hit the target. You live the life that you were actually redeemed for. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and redeeming God, we come before you today humbled by the truth of your word. You reminded us that our worth is not found in this world. It's not in what we earn. It's not in what we achieve, but is in the price that you were willing to pay through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess how easy it is to drift. We confess that even after the empty tomb, even after the clarity of Easter, we find ourselves losing focus, getting turned around, aiming at the things that don't always last. So today we ask you again to realign us, to fix our eyes once again on the cross, anchor our hearts in the truth of our redemption. Teach us to live as people who are truly sighted in, focused, steady, and grounded in you alone. And now, Lord, we bring before you our gifts. We dedicate every offering given today to your glory and your mission. Lord, use these gifts to reach those who are still wandering. Use them to strengthen this church. Use them to proclaim the good news that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. And use us, Lord, not just what we give, but who we are. Keep us aligned with your will so that our lives themselves become an offering pleasing to you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who gave everything so that we could be brought home. Go now in peace. Amen.